Welcome to the Sipsters Wine Podcast with Luke Whittall.
Hello, Sipsters. Welcome to a new way to experience wine and the Sipsters Wine Podcast. You can email me at sipsterswinepodcast@gmail.com or go to the website at sipsterswinepodcast.ca. This week, I have something a little bit different. This is a flashback episode. I'm taking you back to a podcast that I recorded 10 years ago now for my previous podcast called Wine Country BC. This goes back to the Oyster Festival in Osoyoos in 2013. For those of us in the industry, the Oyster Festival was the start of our season, and it was also like a family reunion of sorts. The first time that some people had seen each other since the previous fall wine festival, or perhaps Whistler's Cornucopia. And because of that, no matter what the weather threw at the Oyster Festival, and there was sunshine and rain and all kinds of cold weather and weird stuff, everyone was always generally in really good spirits, and it made it a lot of fun for everyone who was there. A lot has changed since this was recorded, of course. In the podcast, I mentioned that I had never been a wine judge, but of course, that's no longer true. Some of the people that I interviewed have also moved on to other workplaces as well, but at the very least, it's an interesting time capsule. I will be recording more fresh podcasts coming up this weekend, and so there are more podcast goodies coming at you. But until then, enjoy this little flashback. Cheers. What you are hearing is the actual sound of wine judges in their native habitat. Listen closely. Wine judging is a very inward, introspective kind of thing, and it was a very quiet room generally the whole time. I've never been a wine judge, and I've never seen anything of this action before, so it was really quite intriguing to be there. Very, very interesting, to say the least, especially when there's a seafood pairing component that's involved with it. It's all part of the second annual Oliver Soyuz Oyster Festival. It takes place in late April. It's one of the first big wine events in the Okanagan, and it's become a part kickoff to the season, part industry party, and all of it is just a fabulous amount of fun. In this podcast, I speak with wine judges Cassandra Anderton and Brad Cooper about what they look for when pairing oysters and wine. You'll also hear from Christina Ferreira from Impact Events and Project Management, talking about what goes into setting up a wine competition and getting the wines ready for the judges. As well, we'll chat with John Crofts from Codfather Seafood Market in Kelowna about shucking that many oysters for the judges. But we'll start off with festival creator and organizer Claire Sear and Don Brogan, general manager of Walnut Beach Resort, about why oysters love the Okanagan. Cheers from Wine Country.
I'm Claire Sear. I'm the sales manager for Walnut Beach Resort, and I'm also the Okanagan contributing editor for Eat Magazine.
Okay, I'm Don Brogan, General Manager of Walnut Beach Resort here in Osoyoos.
And we're here at the Oyster Festival in Osoyoos, something that you had a hand in creating, Claire.
Well, the Vancouver Island oyster farmers decided that they wanted a vacation in the Okanagan, so we said, that's great, come on up, we've got lots of wine, and we created the Oliver Osoyoos Oyster Festival.
And when was that?
It was last year, so now we're on our second annual Oliver Soyuz Oyster Festival, and this year we've added the exciting component of Canada's first oyster wine competition.
And the judging for that is going on right now as we speak?
Yes,
that's
with
exciting.
Some really high-profile judges in there.
No kidding.
And oyster lovers.
So how much has this really filled up the hotel then?
This event, I'm very happy with how it's evolved over the last couple of years, from Claire's initial idea to now. we're experiencing this weekend, basically a sold-out weekend at the hotel. The oyster event is definitely the main component causing that. We need more events like this in our shoulder seasons. It really helps make our economy healthy. It gets our people back working from being off over the winter. It's a great event. Really happy with it.
Is this something that I think we're looking at more in the Okanagan, where we're getting, you know, more creative ideas happening over the winter? Is this possible only really because it's April, or can we start doing things in February?
I also sit on the board of Destination Asturias, you know, the marketing outfit for our region, and you know, we labor with this constantly. If we had $1 million to spend on a campaign to bring people here in January, I don't think we'd get a ton of people to come. But you put a little bit of money into something in the shoulder seasons where it's not completely weather dependent on whether people are going to get here or not, because it is rubber tire traffic that gets here. I think there's a lot more opportunity to see some return on investment putting your money behind something in the shoulder season as opposed to in the dead of winter. I think we're really for the winter time, it's our snowbirds and the minor hockey and that's what the business is in the winter time in this neck of the woods. But the spring and the fall, I think the world is our oyster. It could be anything we want it to be.
Well tied in. That's awesome. So, Claire, what are the events that happen for the Oyster Festival? When people come here, what do they get to see?
What I love about the Oyster Festival is it's got both communities doing events, from small little oyster shucking stations to big long table dinners with 60 people in attendance at Miradora Restaurant, which kicked off the festival on Wednesday. Last night, Terrafina Restaurant at Hester Creek released their rosé just for the Oyster Festival, and then they hosted all of their sparkling friends mm-hmm. for a sparkling and pizza event with oysters and an oyster shucking and an oyster pizza competition. Today we've got a fundraiser at Dolce Deli for the Splash Park with oysters and wine. We expect about 100 people, and a big oysters and beer and band party tonight. And then the signature event at the festival is tomorrow at our hotel. It spills out all around the pool deck, and we have 12 restaurants participating in 15 wineries.
So the party tonight then is where?
The party tonight is at Spirit Ridge Resort, okay. So we're really happy that we're encompassing all sorts of businesses, including other hotels for the festival.
So it's not just Walnut Beach then, it's kind of all over the south here.
It's all over Asturias and Regional District C. all of us together. It's something that hasn't happened a lot in history. Getting Oliver and Asuyas to work together on anything has been a huge challenge, but very happy to see the collaboration going on so far.
There's something about having a shucking good time that just gets everybody excited.
Right on. So, Claire, if I could ask you what the inspiration was for this particular kind of thing. Was there anything that, like, you just sort of came up with oysters one day? That sounds good. Or?
So the inspiration for the Canadian Oyster Wine Competition has to be given credit to John Rowley in Seattle, who created the Pacific Northwest Oyster Competition, which now gets over 500 entries. And we're hoping to have John Rowley at our festival next year and to hopefully do a Canadian-American Oyster Showdown.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
500 entries. How many entries in our contest this year?
For a first-year wine competition, we had over 80 entries, so we're pretty excited. Asturias has a big history with oysters, starting with our firefighters. They've always done a big oyster feed dinner. It's a sold-out event, so we do have to give them credit.
And how does that happen?
It happens right at the beginning of the festival. And then it really was the Vancouver Island oyster farmers wanting to come up. We wanted to support their business. We think oysters are really good for the environment. And there's just such a natural pairing between oysters and wine and oysters and craft beer.
Christina Ferreira, I'm with Impact Events. and I am producing the back end of the first Canadian oyster wine competition, part of the Olorosi's Oyster Festival.
That's a whole lot of oysters.
That is a whole lot of oysters.
All right, so we are in the back room here. We're prepping where all the wines are being prepped. How many wines are we tasting in this competition?
We have 9 categories with 82 wines total. So we've set up each category into a flight. So right now the judges are judging flights. So the way that we do it is we put each wine has got a number attached to it. So it is a blind tasting. So the judges right now, because this is a pairing competition, they are presented with a flight. So for example, sparkling is a category. So they're presented with their flight of sparkling wines in front of them along with oysters. And their goal is to determine, of the wines entered, which is the best pairing. So everything is blind. All they know are numbers. For sparkling, it is a sparkling category. Yeah. So that's a variety. But we do have Pinot Blanc, Sauv Blanc, like straight categories. So we've got Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, Sauv Blanc, Pinot Noir, Unoaked Chardonnay, Chardonnay, Riesling. We also have a wild card category, which basically was anything as long as it was produced with 100% Canadian, because again, it's a pairing opportunity. So it lets wineries, fruit wines, we didn't get any beer, but it could have been potentially beer that got entered, or as well as sake or mead. So that was the whole point of the wild card category. So then what will happen is we will take the winner of all 9 categories. So each category will have a winner and a runner-up announced. But the winner of all categories will then go, and the judges will do a final judging round of the winner from each of the 9 categories to determine who's the best of show.
Awesome. Okay. This is a lot of bottles in this room right now.
There is a lot of bottles and a lot of glasses and a heck of a lot of stickers, because we've got to label every wine.
No kidding. Do you think the judges are still going to be able to have oysters after this competition?
They say they are. We made sure that was a qualifying factor that we had. You had to love oysters, and they were fully aware of the number of oysters they'd be consuming today.
And who are the judges for this?
The judges, we've got Audrey Sarau from Rod's Regional Table. She's co-owner. Mark Filito, who is chef and sommelier at Waterfront Wines in Kelowna. Reese Pender, who owns and operates Wine Plus, also one of the few masters of wine in the world. Cassandra Anderton, who is with Good Life Vancouver. She's a media writer and biggest oyster lover I think I've ever met. And we have Bradley Cooper, not the actor. We do have Bradley Cooper, the winemaker from Township 7 and Black Cloud Wine.
Awesome. That's a pretty good lineup then.
It is. It was a great lineup, and they're all excited, and it's also learning for me too, because it is the first time we've done a food competition like with oysters. Mm-hmm. Oysters, as you know, obviously we have to bring them in, so we want to thank our sponsors, obviously, Codfathers and Eat Magazine for making this happen, because with their support we're able to get that. So thank you to them, as well as Walnut Beach Resort, of course, because this is the venue we're in, and without them we wouldn't have the space to run the competition.
Now, is this how judging competitions normally work? Like if you've ever been behind the scenes at, say, the Wine Festival Society or Wine Access, anything like that, is this sort of the same style? Or
yeah, it is. So the judges are in a completely separate room. Everything is run by numbers and set up by flight. So that's why a lot of times people wonder why they can't submit last minute entries, but there is a lot of legwork done prior, because you've got to set up the flights. But all judging competitions are, they're numbered so that they're blind, so that the people who are judging don't know. They're not aware, other than the varietal. They have no clue who the winery is.
Cool.
That's great. That's what makes it blind, and that's what makes it a really good, fair competition.
Would you ever want to be a judge?
Would I want to be a judge? I think it would be too hard.
tricky,
I enjoy all wine.
John Crofts from Codfather Seafood Market.
All right, and you shucked how many oysters this morning?
120.
What kind of wine goes well with oysters, Steve?
I like something that complements the oyster, okay, and something that kind of doesn't clash too much with the brininess. So something with some you know, light sweet notes, but definitely something crisp and fresh. So like a Sauvignon Blanc, or those seem to be the wines that have been doing well this morning. Some of the Pinots.
Is that what the judges will be looking for, do you think?
I don't know. They've got a whole different... Those guys have got incredible palates, and they've got a whole different set of rules. So, yeah.
Right on, right.
All I know is if it tastes good and the oyster tastes good, I'm happy.
So these oysters, and where are these ones from?
These ones are from Mariner Island, and they're from Outlandish Shellfish Guild. And they're, at the moment, they're a tray oyster, and they're just very fresh tasting at the moment, and with a little bit of sweetness, and beautiful oysters to look at as well.
They are gorgeous looking. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Do you have a website?
Yeah, www.codfathers.ca.
My name's Cassandra Anderton, and I'm a freelance writer from Vancouver and the publisher of goodlifevancouver.com.
Having fun?
Palate's getting a bit a bit challenged, but yes, it's been great. We've had some really good wines and some great pairings, and some pairings that surprised me, and some wines that I thought would work really well, but once we got right in there and gnawed on that oyster, it surprised me. So yeah, it's been a good morning.
So what are you looking for then when you're looking for a wine that pairs well? If you said you had a great wine that then as soon as you tried it with the oyster didn't really work so well, what do you think is the reason why?
Some of it is with food and wine pairing, it's always sort of a complement or a contrast, really. Mm-hmm. And with oysters, there has to be sort of a degree of acidity in there to pair well with the actual oyster. These oysters have a little bit of creaminess to them, so some of the fruits are working quite well with the oyster, the fruit flavors in the wine. But it is about acidity and just not overpowering, because we really do want to taste the actual flavor of the oyster. So that's what I'm looking for there.
When you've had both them, when you've had the oyster and then the wine, should you want to be overpowering the other, or is it you're looking for a balance?
No, I want to be able to taste the oyster and have it showcased. Okay. And if I don't want it to overpower the wine or the wine to overpower it. It really has to be, the pairing has to go that way.
Do you think that depending on the kind of oyster and where it's from, does that really
most definitely
affect, would that have changed the outcome, do you think?
Yes. Okay. There are, just like wine has terroir, oysters have miroir. And miroir is where in the ocean they're from. Time of year, oysters taste different. They're plumper at some times than others, so it is very dependent on the region the oyster comes from, the actual exact ocean, because they're filtering the plankton and all of the water in that ocean, and that's what you're ending up with.
Miroir. That'll be the word of the day.
It is a term that was coined by Greg Atkinson, who is a food writer and a chef out of Washington. So it's not my word. I'd love to take claim of that, but it is not mine.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Well, yeah. We've learned something here today.
There we go.
I'm Bradley Cooper. I'm from Penticton.
not the actor Bradley Cooper?
Not the actor Bradley Cooper. Okay. I have, though. Pardon me?
You look very similar.
Well, I don't know about that. It does get me good reservations in restaurants, though.
All right, so you're here judging today for the Oyster Festival wine competition. What is it you're looking for with a good match? What are you looking for between a good pairing with oysters?
Well, for me, it's always about a kind of compatibility between the some of the richness and fatness that you get in an oyster and the bracing acidity that the wine brings. And so it's you often talk about when you're pairing foods about comparison or contrasting, and this is definitely a situation where I feel you should be contrasting between what the wine offers and what the oyster offers.
So what kind of wines are we generally looking for then? Are you looking for wines that are, you know, big and full and rich, or are you looking for wines that are light and crisp and easy drinking, that kind of thing?
Right off the top, I'm going to say probably avoid light wines. Wines that are perhaps lacking body, lacking depth and complexity. You're going to find that a lot of oysters, and since a lot of people, when they're eating their oysters, there's some other flavors that have been added in there often, and that's going to require a little bit of assertiveness in whatever wine.
Like lemon juice, things like that.
Lemon juice, well, the people put hot sauce on there. They're putting herbals on there, sometimes a little bit of cilantro or something like that. And those are going to provide challenges to any wine that you put up against it.
Thanks for chatting today. Bradley Cooper, not the actor.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper, not the actor.
I had it first.
Thank you for listening to the Sipsters Wine Podcast.
Go to Sipsters online at sipsterswinepodcast.ca.